Asvini Gupta.
Listening.
Maharaj, this is the question. Vishwata Prabhu, this is the question.
Yes.
It is written by S. Meera from one of the Forum for Vedanta Science subscriber. She says, thank you for providing this opportunity to bring forth the question that keep cropping up. Question. While facing the adversities in life, detachment mode is one of the practices to keep oneself free from worries and negativities. However, the detachment mode itself has cones of mind becoming hard. Example, since I don't have any expectation, I am unable to react or respond. Also, the event or trigger, I may not have any issues or problems with this, but it may not be a good response to people around me.
Okay, I catch the question. It's a little abstract, the question, but I catch the spirit of the question so far. I understood. Adversities in life came from misunderstanding of identification with something who is not, from Maya. So the detachment mode is one of the practice, as they say, to keep yourself free from worries and negativity. So your Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisvarupa Dhamma Maharaj, say something very nicely on this point, that all negativities came to our mind. We should try to overcome with patience and determination, because they will fly away. So when we understand that our real relation, eternal relation is with Krishna, we need to back to God, back to Godhead, then all these negativities will disappear. But going more deeply in that question, to answer properly by the mercy of Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Madhavapuri Maharaj also, I seen that the answer is in the Shastras themselves, in Bhagavatam. These adversities in life is the misconception. We are identified with something which is not. So if we are in Krishna consciousness, and Bhagavatam say, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Yana Gyati Asu Bhairagyan Yana Chat Hai Tukam. Real knowledge, when we are out of avidya, of ignorance, this is our main problem, you know. When we are have proper knowledge that who we are and what is our relation with Krishna and the spiritual master, then these adversities of life gradually disappear by the purification of the heart. This is our process of Krishna consciousness. So to be free from all worries and negativity is to be engaged in the service of Krishna, Vasudeva, Vasudeva Bhagavati. And then we get knowledge and detachment. Detachment means vairagya, you know.
Yes.
To use everything, yukta vairagya, in the service of Krishna.
Yes.
But he says in the second part of the question, however, the detached mood itself, as cons of the mind becoming hard. As soon as the mind becomes purified, according to Rupa Goswami say, you know, to engage in the process of the service of Guru and Gauranga,
yes.
There are nice mantra in the Upadesha Rita.
Yes.
He say, Atihara prayasa cha prayalpa naika magraha yana sangha chalalyan sabhi bhakti vinashyati. So this yana sangha, satsangha, it is very important to understand what is the best process to overcome the problems of the mind. Sometimes become hard.
Yes.
He gives the example in the question. Says, I don't have any expectation. I am unable to react or respond also to the event trigger.
Yes.
So all these problems, they came when we understand who we are, what is our eternal relation with the Lord,
yes.
As Nitya Das, you know.
Yes.
And then the mind gradually, the mind is the perception, the internal sense perception, you know.
Yes.
According to Sankhya, there are five senses, and there are internal sense with the mind. It's more subtle. And even more subtle, the mind is intelligent. Buddhi yoga. Tadami buddhi yoga tanjena manupayantite. So when we love the Lord and we are faithful to the following the orders of the spiritual master, serving his bani, his instruction,
yes.
Then the mind becomes purified because Krishna knows our heart.
Yes.
So when we are sincere by chanting the holy name with the joy, you know, chaturdharpana marjana. So the mind can be our friend. The mind is like a prostitute, but it can be also a friend.
Yes.
So my specific answer after saying all this is that adversities, negativities, trouble with the mind, Gradually, we will overcome. If we are sincere, we take shelter in the proper, in shastras, in sadhu, in gurus, and then we become detached. Detached in worried sins, we think many things were not proper for our spiritual advancement. So we should chant the holy name, we should follow the process of Vaishnava Marga, and then gradually we can conquer the mind up to Krishna. Sometimes we can wake up one day and we control the senses, but this is due to practice. We can be sarana siddha or nitya siddha or kripa siddha. So this is a gradual process to be purify the mind and to be detached. Detached means to detach of unwanted things. And as soon as you are engaged in devotional service, detachment become automatically. Knowledge and detachment. So I don't know if His Holiness Bhakti Maharaj and Puri Maharaj have something more to say about that question.
Where is that person here online?
Which
have
person?
You asked the question?
Maharaj, no. Actually, it is just sent by email. So,
oh, I see.
Yes, so no, it is not online. So.
So we can't tell whether he is satisfied or not.
Yes, Maharaj.
Does anybody else have any comment to make about that? Any other additions?
Maharaj, actually what the point is addressed here, like while facing the adversities in the life, detachment mode is one of the practice. So Maharaj, actually not only detachment, but the dependency on Krishna is one of the important aspects which is missed here.
Yes.
So that is actually like Pandavas have a lot of difficulties in their life, Maharaj. But actually they are detached from material, attachments, but they are at the same time simultaneously dependent on Krishna and, the authorities. So that's why, Maharaj, that point is missed here, Maharaj.
Yes, I think that's also true. I think that if we are Krishna conscious, that's the first thing.
Yes.
If we have given up consciousness of the material world, the consciousness of exploitation, and we have to awaken our Krishna consciousness, of our thinking, remembering Krishna, then automatically all the proper adjustment has been made, and we can deal with every situation properly.
Yes.
We don't have to make some artificial renunciation of anything.
Yes,
We will have the proper consciousness, like I've been telling for several of these meetings, that when the consciousness is changed, the whole atmosphere of the world will change.
Yes, Mother.
You won't even find yourself in this world at a certain point. when Krishna consciousness comes, then all of material world vanishes from before your eyes. That's possible by Krishna's arrangement.
Yes,
and everything will be sweet.
Yes,
Maharaj.
But we have to develop the Krishna consciousness first.
Yes.
Then all these things will be mitigated. We won't experience things in the same way as when we are being tested, when we are being purified. We will see things differently. So the process is given that if we develop the attitude of being a very humble, tolerating what is going on in the environment, and taking and recognizing that we are seeing so many difficulties because of my own consciousness, the impurity of my own self, then we will make the most rapid progress. Because our goal is not to change anything in this world.
Yes.
Our goal is to change our consciousness and become Krishna conscious. And we know that from there, everything else will follow.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? Everything will follow. So that in that way, we are detached from trying to change the world.
Yes.
And rather trying to make ourselves Krishna conscious. And the best way to do that is to preach to others Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And the only way they will listen to us, if we preach to them, is by being ourselves very, very humble. No one likes to listen to someone who is, speaking strongly to them.
Yes, ma'am.
That anyone is instructing them in a very rough way, they won't like to hear that.
Yes.
So only if we are very humble, extremely humble, they may listen. Oh, this person is so pitiful. I must listen to what he's saying.
Yes, yes, Maharaj. All our acharyas are like that, Maharaj.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada was saying that even the truth, the absolute truth, should be presented in a palatable way, in a sweet way. Sometimes it's difficult, but Maharaj is making the point to be Trinata Pishunishana. That's the main point.
So Mahaprabhu was like that also. And when one has real love for Krishna, then he automatically has love for everyone. He doesn't have any enmity toward anyone. How can he have enmity toward anyone? Because he's always thinking of Krishna, always remembering Krishna, always seeing Krishna.
Yeah.
We know in the Brahma Samhita it is said that premanjina churita bhakti vilochanena shantak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintana swarup. He's always seeing Shyam Sundar. Why? Because his eye has already been has this covering on it, the ointment of Prem, Krishna Prem. And then he's always seeing Krishna. Then what's the question of not having affection for everyone? And when that is there, the affection is there, the humility is there, then who can avoid listening to you? Who can resist?
Maharaj is giving us a very high, shiksha. He's always making the point, the point into the point.
From the Shastra. We are learning from the Shastra. So, very nice.
Maharaj is very humble. We interact with Swarup Damodar in Bombay, and I was always surprised by your humility and your dedication to Prabhupada. So that's why Swarup Damodar Maharaj love you very much.
Well, that was his mood, and that's why I loved him very much. I was so attracted to him.
Yeah, you say that.
Because he is so humble. Always so humble. And I never saw anyone like that. And all the devotees, all our Prabhupada senior devotees and all that, Maharaj seemed to me the most humble.
Govinda Maharaj was very nice also. Maharaj was very genuine humility, not show, but genuine.
So is that Gauranga Premananda Prabhu? Are you there? Can you hear us? Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Gauranga Premananda Prabhu.
Well, there are a message here. They say due to his configuration of privacy. You can.
I'm wondering what happened.
Purushottam, you are there? Where is Purushottam?
Purushottam,
I'm here. Purushottam Jagannath.
And is who else is there?
Our Amarendra Prabhu is also there.
Amarendra, yes. And Gaurchandra Prabhu is here.
Gaurchandra Prabhu, yes.
And Avadhut Rai.
Hare Krishna, I'm here.
Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
And who is Krishpa? Krishpa?
Maharaj, he's actually Krishna Pavan Prabhu. Is it Krishna Pavan Prabhu?
Yeah.
Yes, from Siol. Siol Maharaj. He's actually last time attended.
Yes. I remember. Yes. Haribol Krishna. Krishna Pavan. Haribol Dhanavats.
Haribol Prabhu.
He's a software engineer in Samsung in Siol.
Yes. So now, you see, this is difficult because we already have 10 people. And nobody else can join if they want to.
Janak Parwal Prabhu is also there.
Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Jai, Haribol, Janak
Prabhu.
Haribol. So we already have 10 people in this conference. It means nobody else can join.
Yes.
So we were thinking how we can have a different method because the Skypecast doesn't seem to work very well. We were thinking of holding this on the Yahoo Messenger.
So that they allow more than 10 people?
Yes, they will allow more than 10. I don't know if the quality is as good.
And Maharaj, we cannot record also there, Maharaj. That is the problem.
I found a way to do that.
Skype is very good.
I found a way to do it.
Okay, Maharaj.
Recording also.
Okay,
so I have to tell you about
Maharaj
that.
Is a good scientist.
I did some research.
Yes.
You are always doing research. And 13 years I know you, I saw you always, putting your eyes in sources and documents,
So now,
Krishna Prabhu, how is your health?
I don't care about that, Thank you, Prabhu. Let's speak about that Krishna Tattva. Thank you. I'm okay.
So now, other questions were there? What other
yes, Maharaj. Next question I'm asking, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. It is a very scientific question.
Yes, I hear. Okay, I send a message.
Yes, Maharaj. Okay.
Life member?
Maharaj, yes. The question is asked by Professor Pranav Kumar Mandal. He is actually our Forum for Vedanta Science member, and he asks, he says, Hare Krishna, Namaskar. I have one question. Is there any consciousness in the atomic world? I mean, have atoms, photons, electrons, etc. conscious? More boldly speaking, is there consciousness in the non-living world? Both microscopic and macroscopic. Hare Krishna.
Right. What do you say?
No, Maharaj, you know, it's your turn. Everything is consciousness, even Paramanu, even in the atom. But better that Maharaj.
No, you tell. You tell. I like to hear your
Maharaj.
Your
well, I follow you. Well, so far with my
we have one.
I can say. Yeah. Please answer yourself. It is your topic. You are a PhD in quantum mechanics, quantum chemistry.
All right, 1 minute. Now, I had a message here from Avadhut Prabhu. He wants to know about all persons who can understand the feelings of all persons and incidents in all places at times is called all cognizant. Oh, he's asking, okay, Avadhut wants to know something about omniscience again. He's asking a question about omniscience. We were talking about this before.
Bandim?
Previous to this satsang, we were talking about this. So, all right, let's answer first the question about the atom. Is there consciousness in the atom? So, as Bishuddhisattva mentioned, every atom, Anu, also contains the Paramatma, Paramanu.
Yes.
Paramanu or atom contains the Paramatma.
Yes.
Because the whole manifestation, you see, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Janma Dasyaton Vayad, Itar Tashtarteshu Abhigyasvarat. That the whole creation.
Yes.
And all creatures, they all come from the Abhigya, the supreme cognizant being, who is also Svarat, independent.
Sounds like Anujiva.
Yes.
That means that everything is floating on consciousness.
Yes.
That once Prabhupada told me, I wrote a letter to Prabhupada and about one question I had about what is matter.
Yes.
And he wrote back, he said, matter is the symbol of undeveloped consciousness. So a matter, or the atom, or whatever it may be, that is only a symbol of undeveloped consciousness. In other words, it's consciousness that has not been developed to full expression. So Aristotle also had a similar idea. His idea of matter, he called, potentiality.
Hmm? A pradana state.
Yes. They called it dunamis in Greek.
Yes.
And dunamis was a potential energy, potentiality.
Yes. Yes.
Means that it's not fully whatever is there is not fully manifest, does not come out.
Yes.
Because it's still in the hidden state. Hmm? Is in the unconscious state means just like in psychology they have this you know, they understand that there's unconsciousness, there's consciousness, and there's also unconsciousness.
Yes.
And sometimes when we have something suppressed in us,
yes,
or unconscious of it, but it is still there, even though we may be unconscious, there is still something there. And when we uncover that unconsciousness, when we dig into it, we can make it conscious also. We can reveal what is there hidden in the unconscious away from our consciousness.
Yes.
Something like that. Matter is of that nature, and the atom is of that same nature. Ultimately, it has something to say.
Yes.
There is something to be said about that. There is some thought that is contained within that atom, and we have to bring that out. That's why when the scientists study matter, be it the atom or whatever, what do they do? In order to know what it is, they have to think about it. And once they think about it, they make some theory about it. And then once they have a theory about it, then they feel they have understood it. They have brought it to their consciousness, to their awareness. At first, when they approach it, they don't know exactly what it is. But only after studying it for some time, they may get some idea. Oh, it's like this, it's like that, it has this in it, it has that in it, it acts like this with one thing and like that with another thing. I guess they can get some idea of what's contained in it. So the question of scientists is, they're asking, what is it? When they come upon something, the first question we ask is, what is it? So more than just the thing itself, we have to know what that thing is. And when we ask what, we mean what kind of thoughts do we have about it? What kind of ideas can we have for about what kind of experiences do we have with it, how it relates to other things? Like that, all of that has to be brought to awareness. So originally when we come upon something that is unknown to us, it is we can say that it's in the unconscious stage. And then when we come to know it a little better, it becomes something that we are conscious of. It comes to our consciousness. So ultimately we have to say that it's ultimately consciousness that is there. Our consciousness.
Maharaj?
What's that?
Maharaj, you allow me to make a small corollary in your nice answer?
Yes.
So they say that Maharaj is very broadly answered in that question. But at the end of the question, they say, more broadly speaking, is there consciousness in the non-living world? So Maharaj explained there are different levels of consciousness. So I heard one time Swaroop Dhamma Maharaj to speak on that point, saying like Prabhupada was, that there are different skills or level of consciousness. So the non-living world, inorganic and organic world, everything is consciousness, but in different levels. That's why the human form of life is the best, vector to develop that consciousness. But everything is pervaded of consciousness, even the atom, and the anu, paramanu. Everything has consciousness. The stone is in a potential state. The cell, the leaves, everything. But of course, it's fully developed in the human form of life, Everything have consciousness in different levels of awareness.
Maharaj, actually, I want to say, there is we see that, Krishna is Agatira Gati. That means he gives the motion to motionless. So actually, as Lord Chaitanya came, and actually when he was offering obeisances, many stones melted. So are there the special stones, or there is, some consciousness in that, the Lord make, motionless to motion.
So much silence. Maharaj is...
Yes, I'm reading something. Well, somebody sent me something, and I'm reading that.
Sushyam Prabhu,
you answer, Vishuddhasattva, you're answering. Go ahead.
Okay, Maharaj, give me permission, I should follow. So, everybody is there, Gaurab Sival, Gauranga Premananda, then Janak Porwal, everybody is there. We are very happy, we have 10 devotees participate. So, I'll be answering that question, Sushant Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So, all these questions, they are more related.
Yes.
I saw that Bhakti Vadhava Puri Maharaj also, he said from a previous satsanga question, say, any person who can understand the feelings of all person and incidents in all place and all time is called all cognition. Well, let me clarify this point in relation with that corollary of the previous question. So, this position to be all cognition is only for Krishna. Krishna is a super soul. Nobody have this power, even the yogis. Atma Ramacha Munayoni Ganti Apiru Prame Kurvanti Haitu Kim Bhakti Mitam Bhuta Gunohari. Gunohari, the qualities of Krishna, they are in atomic part, in infinitesimal part.
Yes.
So nobody can understand the feelings of another person. But sometimes they say that Guru, he has some mystic power, some siddhis.
Yes.
Because Guru is in touch with Krishna. So he can understand and read the mind of the disciples and know the heart.
Yes.
But this position, the only person, supreme person, Purushottam, that who knows all incidents, minds,
yes,
in all place and all times,
yes,
this is Krishna. He's one of the six opulence of Krishna, to be omniscient.
Yes.
This only can be done by Krishna.
Yes.
But sometimes great siddha purushas, great souls, yes, can have some mystic powers, but
yes,
the full extent is only a position of Krishna.
Yes.
Thus I can say.
All right.
So Maharaj is there, is he?
Yes. Now, Avadhut Prabhu has sent an extensive compilation of quotes on this topic of the Atma and consciousness, and I'm going to send it all to you because, you know, I can't think anybody could say any more than this.
Oh, a lot.
So much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Avadhut Prabhu.
Thank you.
But I think we have.
But I need your opinion. I don't have ultimate conclusion still.
But basically, I think I agree with all that is said here. I mean, this is what Prabhupada told me also, that the item is ultimately a covered consciousness. There is a difference between material and spiritual energy, no doubt. In the Gita, Prabhupada talks about, or Krishna talks about, the prakriti and paraprakriti, right?
Yes.
There's prakriti, that means nature, and paraprakriti, which is superior nature.
Yes.
So the jiva, and we know there that there's a hierarchy established. First, the objects of the senses is the lower.
Yes.
Then the senses are higher than that, and then higher than that is the mind, and higher than that is the Atma, like that. That hierarchy is given. And higher than the Atma, of course, is Paramatma, and then Krishna, Bhagavan. So there's some echo.
There are some echo. There are some echo in your voice.
Yes.
Somebody's echoing. The volume is too loud or something.
Yes.
Anyhow, so there's a hierarchy of energies,
yes,
in the in the creation.
Yes.
So that means the lowest energy is called matter.
Yes.
But it's not that, because like the Atma is lower than Krishna, but that doesn't mean the Atma is matter. Right?
Yes.
It's also conscious. Although from Krishna's perspective, you know, we're like an object to him.
Yes.
But from his perspective, we are object. And from our perspective, there is some other object in the world.
Yes.
So it depends on the perspective, what it is. It's not ultimately something that is completely unconscious. It's only from the perspective that we take with respect to it.
Yes.
How else to explain it? Just like when the atom goes into the plant. When the plant absorbs the minerals,
yes, yes,
from the earth, it raises the consciousness of that mineral,
yes,
to the consciousness of the plant.
Yes.
Just by the association,
yes,
of the mineral in that plant, it raises the consciousness. And just like when we eat the plant,
yes,
the consciousness of the plant, the
yes,
soul of the plant, is raised to the consciousness of that which eats it.
Yes.
Because just by association,
yes,
it's possible that that can happen.
Yes.
But Maharaj, when the plant is being cooked, then the jiva, the plant is out. So when we eat it, we eat only inorganic matter.
But it's giving its life for being offered to Krishna. Then it gets some
energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's prasadam, that's why it's spiritual food, right?
And when you take the vegetable, actually the soul is still there. It doesn't leave. You could take the potato. You can, it will still grow. If you put it in the ground, it will grow.
Yes.
Grown it, the eyes will come out, or the shoots will come out, and it will continue to grow into another potato plant.
Yeah.
Like that. So the The soul is there. The seeds are there. If you eat like the tomato, there are seeds there. Those seeds will grow into another tomato plant, yes. And you are consuming them. So the soul is there too.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj. So, actually, I was listening one of the talk in of Guru Maharaj in Navadvip, Mayapur, right. And Guru Maharaj told once Guru Maharaj was preparing for Mangal Arati, immediately Prabhupada called him, and Prabhupada was in bathroom. Then Prabhupada called Guru Maharaj inside, bathroom and called and told, I got an idea how life comes to this, earth. It comes through rain.
Yes.
And that rain, through rain that, life comes and that enters into the, rice grains.
Right.
And when it is
consumed. This is in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. So when it is consumed, by this living entity, then it goes to through the this bija. So and then it comes to into life. So, yes.
Yes. Goes into the semen.
Yes, semen, and then it comes to the life, Maharaj.
It's possible like that too.
Yes.
This is plain Bhagavad Gita at this point.
Yes.
So there's some explanation like that.
Yes.
Maharaj, I had a question on this.
What's that?
Just regarding the plant thing, Lord Krishna says that the soul cannot be divided. So there is a clear distinction between the plant and the soul in the sense that the material energy is being divided when we eat and we leave out some part. But there was some particular soul which had to take birth as a plant, and after we cut the plant away, that soul is now liberated from the plant life, and that soul will probably take birth in another yoni. So it's just that for the soul to actually take part in this material world, it also needs the help of material energy, and that is what the body of the plant is. And that can be divided, material energy. I think that is one primary distinction between the material energy and the living being that's called soul, that you can destroy, you can convert, you can divide material energy, but you cannot divide the soul. That is one living entity as such, and it actually has no association with the world, but just to perform its duties, it has to take birth here, and then it requires, it is a very, material energy then becomes a very essential part. Otherwise we cannot do bhakti, for example. If we were just a soul, we need to take birth as human beings to do bhakti. So I think there is probably a clear-cut distinction between material energy and soul. What we are consuming and what is actually driving the life force. That is just my opinion.
Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita, like I explained. Yeah. Krishna explains in Gita there is prakriti and para-prakriti.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Apare sitas tvanyam prakritim vidime param. Krishna says in the Gita, there is a superior force to energy,
yes.
A superior energy to to the material energy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is definitely a fact, and there's a very nice explanation. You were talking about division, and transformation is possible for the material energy, but is not possible for the soul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's, it cannot be burned or wet or anything. Yes, Prabhu.
I have one comment about that point that is making Professor Pranad Kumar. It's not only true that in the human form of lying you can develop bhakti. The leaves, the vegetables, they have two kriti. To be offered to Krishna. Even the peacocks, there are different santa rasa in relation with bhakti.
Yes.
So, of course, it's fully manifest in the human form of life because it's fully cognizant, but more. But also the vegetables can be engaged in bhakti.
Yes. Yeah, that is pretty correct, yeah. It's just like, I just had one nice example, like Shri Krishna's friend Uddhavji, he requests Krishna that please give me birth as some sort of a plant or vegetable in Vrindavan when you next give me birth so that I can associate with you.
But so that is after Uddhava. This is a specific reason for that. It is not whimsically that the mandin of Uddhava to Krishna. But Uddhava, there are a hidden purport, esoteric purport behind this pastime. Krishna and Uddhava is like Krishna, but Krishna purposely sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to meet with the gopis as a messenger, as a duty, Krishna duty. And then when Uddhava knew that the high devotion, unconditional, high kutiya pratijata, janadma suprasyati of the gopis, then he asked to Krishna, I want to be a creeper, you know, to be with the foot of gopis. That after he realized that gopis, they are the best devotees. And then that after that, he required to Krishna to be a creeper in Govardhan. And in fact, near Kushum Sarovara, that wonderful lake, when the gopis and Radharani, they are going every day to pick up flowers, nearby there are the creeper, who is saying that it is Uddhava personification. So this is the real pastime in Krishna Lila. He want to be a creeper because the same high devotion of the gopis. You know, the gopis, even they don't know. They are not scientists. They are mere women, you know. They are very simple, village people. But they have full devotion because finally the great morality is to surrender what Krishna's desire is. So when Uddhava showed that kind of devotion, it was so amazing, you know. Srila Siddhar Maharaj said that the devotion of Brayavaktas, that Brayavaktis, you know, the Brayavasis, is the high. That's why we are praying to the lotus feet of Radharani to be servant of the servant in that mood. This is the high bhakti devotion.
If I could say something, I would just like to mention this Uddhava's desire to become a creeper. I heard from one devotee that actually this is only glorification and his humility.
Humility, yes.
Glorification of the gopis and his humility, that he would like actually their mercy.
Yes, of course. You are a Russian absent.
Maharaj, can I...
Yes, Purushottam Prabhu.
There is a... actually, his question is, Maharaj, about consciousness. So, specifically, he's asking the question. It seems to me, Maharaj, he's talking about consciousness which comes in the material world. That means in the... like, the question is there any consciousness in the atomic world? Then he's saying, is there consciousness in non-living world? Both microscopic and macroscopic.
Yes.
So actually, Maharaj, there are two things here, Maharaj. One is the living energy, and then another is the non-living energy. So one thing is, Gita very clearly says that material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and modes of matter are products of material nature. So that means this material energy and this living spark, that is the life energy, this is, I think, quite distinct. And at the same time, when we are discussing about this life manifesting through this clouds, and then the rain is coming, and then all this, so in that there are many hidden things, Maharaj, that there are more, you know, deeper elements in that. For example, in Gita I was mentioned, Krishna is telling that I, then moon are my eyes. So this sun is very much involved in the formation of. Now in the universal affairs, Maharaj, there is somewhere some mixing is occurring between this material ingredients and the spiritual spark, by which the consciousness of the spiritual, that is the living entity or the soul, is transformed into something different. So, like, for example, he gets something. Example, things I am. Somebody thinks I am a woman. Somebody thinks, so this material identity comes in. But in the entire process, it seems that there is a distinction between the material nature and in the spiritual nature. Even in the atomic world, this should be true.
Well, I think there, yes. I think the material nature we have to understand is the Bahiranga Shakti.
Yes.
The external energy.
Yes, Maharaj.
And the internal energy, the Antaranga Shakti, that is the Jiva.
Yes.
It belongs to that.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes. Huh? Well, actually, Jiva, we have to be careful here also, because there's a difference between Jiva and Atma.
Yes.
the ajiva, the life force,
yes,
is actually a prakriti.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Krishna calls it prakriti in Bhagavad Gita, but it's called para prakriti.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So there's prakriti, then there's para prakriti, and there's atma also.
Yes.
This is a nice distinction.
Yeah, so life, life has a beginning and end also.
Yes.
But the Atma, the consciousness, that goes on.
Yes.
That goes on. Mm-hmm. Because we can have we can have this life, and then we can have another life, right?
Yes. Yes.
So life is going on, is coming and going.
Yes.
But the consciousness that is remaining the same. So we have to make a little distinction there between jiva and atma, I think.
Yes.
And
this is very important, Maharaj.
Yes.
This is very important.
Prakriti and paraprakriti and atma. There are three different terms in the Gita.
Yes.
So
this is a topic
when Krishna, when Krishna says that Bhumir Apanalo Vayu Kamano Buddhadeva Chahankara Itiyang Me Bina Prakriti Ashtada, right?
Yes, yes.
That Bina Prakriti means that these are the external energies, the energies that are separated from one another, distinct from one another.
Yes.
See, just like in this material world, we see one thing and then we see another thing. Everything is outside of everything else.
Yes.
It's external to everything else.
Yes.
Right? You have your computer, you have your table, you have your ruler, you have your pen. These are all distinct things, one outside the other.
Yes.
We don't see the integrity, the integral wholeness, unity, and the material world. But in the spiritual world, it's different. There is a unity there. What's that, Prabhu?
Maharaj, there are unity. I can make a comment on that.
Yes, go ahead.
That flow. Okay, we need about that Shakti Tattva, about discussion about energies. We need to have a clear understanding about what are the divisions of Krishna's energy. As Maharaj was saying, para prakriti, prakriti. So that energies, mainly, there are three kinds of energies. There are Antaranga Shakti, who is internal energy, internal potency of Krishna. This is Yoga Maya, is also Ladini Shakti. But there are Chik Shakti, the consciousness energy, and Achik Shakti, which is external energy, which is illusory energy on Maya. And then there are Tataksha Shakti, who is the marginal energy. This is concerning
to
Jiva.
Yes, I made a mistake when I said Jiva was Antaranga. Jiva is actually Tathasta Shakti. So there's Bahiranga, Tathasta, and Antaranga.
Yes.
So the three energies. So the Jiva belongs to the Tathasta.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. So there are, the Jiva have that free will, but Maharaj is making a nice distinction.
Yes.
Atma Tattva, the subject discusses Atma, you know.
Yes.
Yayatma Shu Prashidati. As everybody knows here in the Satsanga, that Jiva, I have free will, is like Krishna in quality, not in quantity.
Yes.
But the more understanding of that Shakti Tattva, I repeat, there are the internal energy of Krishna is Antaranga Shakti.
Yes.
With his divisions. This is explained very nicely in the Adi Lila in Chaitanya Charitamrita on the fourth chapter.
Yes.
When they explain Chik Shakti, Sanvit Shakti, and Ladini Shakti.
Yes.
And when you put all these potencies together, that you have the entourage of Krishna Loka. That state is called Sudha Sattva, no? The pure goodness is all the stage of Rayavasis, etc.
Yes.
So Chik Shakti is the consciousness energy, or Chaita, and also consciousness have different levels. In also from the lowest stage to the highest stage to Samadhi, like you know dormant stage, and when you are dreaming and the sleeping stage. Chaitanya means the consciousness, Chik Shakti, you know. And the other kind of division is the marginal energy, as Maharaj said, Tatasha Shakti, that belongs to the Jiva. And there are also the Paraprakriti energy, superior energy, which belong to Krishna. So we need to distinguish very clearly about these three kinds of basic energy. But Maharaj has made a point, very important, it has surprised me, that Atman Jiva, Jiva Atma, Jiva is everywhere, but Jiva Atma is fully developed only in the human form of life. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, this lifetime is very useful, so you can... you can waste it. There are a nice one. You can waste this form of life because it's fully developed, the consciousness. So we can even, demigods, they want to take birth in a human form of life.
Yes.
Because from here we can go directly to the spiritual world.
Yes.
So this distinction is a scientific, you know, topic of Bhaktivedanta Institute, because energy of the atom, then inorganic world, you know, the consciousness of different states of development should be discussed in a scientific perspective, according to our Vedanta understanding.
All right. Any other? Is there another question now?
Yes,
This professor, Professor Pranad Kumar Mondal, is making a few questions, a lot of questions that Maharaj is, I copy and paste in a document of work.
Yes.
And maybe we should discuss that in the future satsanga.
Yes. Maharaj, another question is, K. Sivakumar, he is also a Forum for Vedanta Science member, and he says, Radhe Krishna, any connection between breathing system through right or left nose and the thoughts of our mind. If one look, if one took birth with little obstacle in nose, bent nose, even on nose correction surgery, the blockage of air path will reform within a year. What is the remedy to encourage our mind in good thoughts and discourage our mind from evil indriya thoughts?
Oh. So,
you make a sorcery of the soul, Maharaj.
So, yes, once Sridhar Maharaj made a distinction between the nose and the breath.
Yes.
He said, if you had to lose one, which would you rather lose?
Yes.
Huh? What would you rather lose, the nose or the breath?
What Maharaj? Again, I can't understand.
If you had to lose one or the other, there's nose,
yes,
and then there's the breath through the nose, right?
Yes.
So if you had to lose one, which would you rather lose?
Nose we can lose. Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
So that means, what are you saying? That the form and the substance.
Yes.
Hmm? We have to distinguish between the form and the substance.
Yes.
That these are two different things, huh?
Yes.
Well, the form is in a sense, from one's point of view, is superficial.
Yes.
Yes. Superficial, just the form. But the substance,
yes,
the breath, that is the essential thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So now you're saying, is there a connection between the thoughts,
yes,
of the between the,
yes,
breathing and the thoughts?
Yes.
Is there a connection between breathing and thoughts?
Yes.
Of course, thoughts are above the breathing. Actually, that is giving existence to the breathing. Without the thoughts, that's higher. Right? Just like the breath is higher than the nose. Similarly, the thoughts is higher than the breath.
Yes,
yes, higher than the breath. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So, like I was saying, there is a hierarchy of existence.
Yes.
So nose, that's the outer form. The breath is the inner substance, and that higher than the breath would be the thoughts. So no doubt there is some connection. Otherwise, how can we be breathing if there is no thought there? If there was no person, the breath would stop, breathing would stop. But how that happens, how the prana is manifest from the higher than cognitive state, that I don't know. That we have to study the scripture very carefully to find out how that connection comes about. What are the various elements that are involved,
yes,
in producing the pran?
Yes.
Hmm? From the higher elements.
Yes.
That's something that we have to study as far as how the creation occurs.
Yes.
So I couldn't answer that question right now because I don't remember all those details.
Yes.
But some explanation is given.
Yes.
Then, what is the other thing? If there is something about obstacle, and what does he want to say?
Mm.
Oh, will that modify our thoughts? If,
yes,
there is some obstacle in the nose, will our thoughts,
yes,
become modified? Well, certainly the breath will become modified,
yes,
but whether the thought is modified or not will depend upon,
yes,
how much our thought is absorbed,
yes,
in the prana, in the prana stage of existence.
Yes. Yes.
According to how much we are absorbed in that state, then definitely the thoughts will become disturbed once the breath is disturbed.
Yes.
But if the thoughts are able to maintain their purity above the breath, then and that is possible.
Yes.
For very highly realized souls, that is possible. Just like there are so many examples given in the scriptures of these things.
Yes.
How, who was that? What's his name?
One Maharaj.
Who was praying?
Which one?
Who was praying to Lord Brahma, and he was sitting, and the ants were eating him, and even they were sucking. Hiranyakashipu, yes. When Hiranyakashipu was sitting, and the ants were eating him, and even they were sucking the breath out of his bones, he was still meditating. And when Brahma saw that, he became very, he became very sad to see Hiranyakashipu doing that, and he was stopping. Actually, Hiranyakashipu was stopping the breath of the whole universe.
Yes.
All the demigods were feeling disturbed by Hiranyakashipu's extreme austerity and how he could meditate so intently and be so detached from the body that he had reached a very high state of realization.
Yes.
Of course, Hiranyakashipu was no ordinary person.
Yes.
We know that he was ultimately a servitor at the door of Vaikuntha.
Yes.
He was the doorman.
Yes. Yes.
So that he had already reached Vaikuntha. So he was not an ordinary person.
Yes.
He had that, in order to reach that stage of being Vaikuntha, at the door of Vaikuntha, requires that one has already transcended even the subtle layers of the eight layers of the universe.
Yes.
One had to transcend even all those eight layers of mind, intelligence, and ego. He had transcended that from his previous life.
Yes.
So he was able to exhibit such amazing austerity, tapasya.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible that one can be on that high, very high state.
Yes.
That a pure thought, that he doesn't have any connection even with the breath, then he won't be disturbed, even if there's some disruption of the breath.
Yes.
It's possible to reach that.
Yes.
So depending on the absorption that one has with the higher or lower platform, then he may be disturbed or he may not be disturbed.
Yes.
Understand?
Yes.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Please answer the question.
Yes, actually, I was telling Maharaj, even though, one can reach the highest stage in, this all, mystic practices, but still one don't have that, devotional, what you can say, conscious, that, high platform devotion, then actually that all, this temporary, what you can say, this all, powers, mystic powers, has no use. Like, yes, this Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, Kumbhakarna and all, they, meditated and got so much of, potency, but Maharaj, actually, they not learned how to utilize whatever they have in the service of Supreme. So that's why, actually, ultimately, they have to, get their, end, that temporary, nature, Maharaj.
Yes, that's the other lesson.
Yes.
That's the other lesson we learn from the fall of those giant Vijay from the door of Vaikuntha. You see, that mean that when they were at the door of Vaikuntha means that they had just escaped from the material energy from the Viroja River and entered to the door of Vaikuntha. That means they had not penetrated into Vaikuntha even.
Yes.
They were there at the door only.
Yes.
They never got penetration. They never got entrance into the Vaikuntha world where some kind of dedication is necessary.
Yes.
But they hadn't developed that dedication, that attraction for the service of the Lord.
Yes.
Therefore, they remained at the door, and therefore they could develop attraction for the material sphere.
Yeah, this past time, Maharaj, even the Jaya Big Jai, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, they fall down three times.
Yes.
Even Kali Yuga, they Yagai Madai,
But how did they fall down? Do you remember?
Yes.
Offenses.
No, I actually what I remember that Maharaj this four Kumaras of Lord Brahma, they came to meet Lord, and somehow they not allowed and passed some offensive statements. So
exactly.
And because of that, they fall down.
Yes, they saw they were some small boys,
yes.
And they thought, what do you want to come here to bother Narayan?
Yes. Yes.
You can't come in. And like that, because they were great souls,
yes.
They were highly exalted souls,
yes.
They had to get punishment for that, for not giving the proper respect
to Vaishnavas.
So this we have to remember very carefully,
yes.
That even one reaches the door of Vaikuntha,
yes.
If you make an offense, Vaishnava Parad,
yes.
Then again you will fall, you will lose,
yes.
Your devotional development.
Yes.
It will be lost.
Yes.
So it's we must be very careful about that, making offense to the Vaishnavas,
yes.
Or our whole progress in spiritual life will be disrupted.
Yes.
Huh? The
this
elephant
is extremely important.
Yes.
Maharaj is making a very, 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 very important point, because even it is the first offense against the holy name, Sadhu Ninda. So we should be very, very aware. Sometimes we commit offenses unconsciously.
Yes.
So we should be very aware, because, you know, all this fall down. We should not use, you know, other people, you know. We should be very humble,
yes.
As the acharyas, you know. They came to my mind, Jaya Vijaya Pashtain offending the Kumaras.
Yes.
Of course, they say that the four Kumaras, they don't have proper relation with Krishna, only in Santa Rasa,
yes.
Even Prahlad Maharaj, but the bottom line of that we should offer respect to everyone, what they speak of the high souls. So this is a block in our devotional advancement. Should be very humble, like Srila Prabhupada, like your Guru Maharaj, Swarup Damodar, like Madhava Puri Maharaj. So this is a lesson to be learned by everybody. Sometimes we should be very aware, not commit offense.
Yes.
Not seeing that we are very advanced.
Yes.
And also in relation with that, there are an aspice time of Balaram killing Prahlad Basura.
Yes.
In Vrindavan. He was a demon not killing by Krishna. There are specific reasons why Krishna was killing directly to Prahlad Basura.
Yes.
Because it was a promise to Prahlad Maharaj in Nisinga Lila, he never will kill against the descendants of Prahlad, and Bali Maharaj, he was grandson of Prahlad. But anyway, that even Maharaj saying that to be proud, even in the highest stage of devotion, even sometimes Prakriti gurus, Madhya Narikar gurus, they fall down because they think they become proud. I'm sannyasi, I'm a guru, so and so. So Pralamba in Sanskrit means handing. So Pralamba Sura, it represents a specific anartha, or be proud, to be pratishta, to be honored by others, you know. Sometimes this proudness is the cause of fall down, even in the great souls, in the very advanced states. So the killing of Balaram, who is the spiritual strength, is the representative of the guru, to kill Pralamba Basura is teaching us that even we are thinking about very advanced, we should be very aware to offer respect to others and not demanding any respect for ourselves. This is the main lesson of Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
So killing of Prahlad Basura means killing that anartha in the heart.
Yes.
Pratishta. This is very important.
Yes.
Not offend anybody.
Yes.
Now, Gaurachandra is asking a question here.
Yes.
Have you seen his question? He wants to know... that can one know about how much lifetime breathing is left by some process, Chandrasvara or Surasvara? One can know how much lifetime of the individual's remaining. Have I read that anywhere? I haven't really read that any place, but I know Prabhupada told that. I think it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam also, that everyone has a certain number of breaths in this life.
Yes.
And when that number is finished, then your life is finished.
Yes.
So actually, people think they are living.
Yes.
Huh? From the point of view of the first breath,
yes.
You are living. Each new breath you take, that you consider yourself living.
Yes.
But from the point of view of your last breath,
yes.
Every breath that comes closer to that is one last breath.
Yes.
You are dying.
Yes.
Huh? So yes. Simultaneously, we are living and dying.
Yes.
That's the contradiction of life. Life is a contradiction of both living and dying.
Yes.
Isn't it? Even the scientists now, they know this is to be true.
Yes.
They call it anabolism and catabolism.
Right. Yes.
Huh? Anabolism means the construction of the cell,
yes.
And catabolism means the destruction of the cell.
Yes.
So both are going on. In order for there to be life, there must also be. In order for there to be living, there must also be dying.
Yes.
And so life is that kind of contradiction. and that's a fact. And from a philosophical point of view, Kant also established the same principle, that life is both a cause and effect of itself.
Yes.
Living entity and organism is characterized by that contradiction, that it is both the cause and effect of itself.
Yes.
Anyhow, I don't know anybody else has any question about any answers about that. But I wanted to, before we go to that, I wanted to say there's one more question because we're coming to the end here of our hour.
Yes,
so Avadhut Prabhu has asked one question. I'm going to post that here.
Yes.
You see, he says there are 2 trillion cells in the human body. Does every cell have a soul? And again, Prabhupada has answered that question. He told us that yes, there are every cell has a soul.
Yes.
And that you are the chief soul in your body.
Yes.
Just like the king is the chief of the citizens of his kingdom.
Yes.
So you are the king in your body.
Yes.
Your soul is the king of your body, has domination over all the other living entities that are within the body.
Yes.
Maharaj.
Yes. What do you say?
One time, Swarup Damodar Maharaj was asking Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, when we eat prasadam, because so many living cells that are in the body, so when we are taking prasadam, they benefit all these jivas in the body. And Prabhupada said to him, smiling, said, you are very benevolent.
thinking of all those cells in his body, all those worms and other things that are in the body, he was even thinking of them.
Yes.
To see if they are getting some benefit. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj.
Yes.
This one more question asked.
I think we should stop now. I don't know because it's been 1 hour.
Yes, Maharaj.
We don't want to keep everyone going for so long. Huh?
Yes, Maharaj.
What do you want? You want to answer this one more, then we finish. Okay.
Yes, Maharaj.
Let's say. What does it say?
This is actually Manish Naran Ware. So he is also Forum for Vedanta Science member. He says, sir, spirituality says whatever happens, happens for good. According to me, it is okay if everything is healthy. But can the outcome of the madness is also for good only? And how madness should be related with spirituality? I am asking this because I am wondered about each human race.
Worried about each
human race going towards madness as we are going away from nature.
Yes. Madness is also spiritual. It can also be good.
Yes.
Mahaprabhu was entirely mad.
Yes. Yes.
He was entirely mad.
Yes. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So madness is also good.
Yes.
In Krishna's service.
Yes.
So maybe this world is madness in this material world. Of course, that is tamagun, right? That is taking one more into illusion. That is not good.
Yes.
But that is also, that's part of the material existence.
Yes.
There's destructive aspect is there in the material energy due to the mode of the tamagun, the mode of ignorance.
Yes.
So that has a purpose also.
Yes.
Who becomes mad? Who becomes destructive?
Yes.
It's those people who need to be destroyed because they have gone in such a bad way that the only thing that will help them is destruction.
Yes.
To stop them from going more into the bad, into the darkness.
Yes.
So sometimes destruction can also be good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We may think, oh, you're killing someone that is not good.
Yes.
But actually, from the more universal perspective, that may be the best thing because they will be avoiding by killing the bad element.
Yes.
Then they are not polluting the good element also, and also the other thing for themselves by killing the bad element, they are not creating more karma for themselves.
Yes,
going deeper into ignorance. So everything has to be seen from a relative point of view in this world. It may have good or bad consequences. We don't know.
Yes.
But we'll have to judge everything from its proper perspective. Mm-hmm. And then something may be good and it may be all bad at the same time, depending on what point of view we're looking at it.
Maharaj, like Yudhishthir Maharaj says, one of the madness is that, you know, people in this world, even though they have very short life and, you know, they are seeing so many people are dying every day and, you know, his turn is also coming, but, you know, they are forgetting that, you know, and forgetting the real duty, and they are engaged in, you know, all this, you know, material activities, thinking that they are not going to die. So that is, yes, that is the real madness, but, you know, they think that opposite, Maharaj.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So, all right, let us end here. Now, yes. Bishudasatra Prabhu?
Yes, Maharaj.
Bishudasatra, would you like to make prayer to Srila Prabhupada? Some glorification of Srila Prabhupada, some prayer that we can say to end this conference?
Well, I remember that Sarudama Maharaj is teaching us a good lesson as disciple, that in spite of many adversities and negativities, he was always keeping a great faith in Srila Prabhupada as a perfect disciple. So we should follow his attitude of humility as a perfect disciple, to have great faith, great determination in following Prabhupada, because Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya, is the life and soul. So I want to remember one last thought of Sarudama Maharaj. It's in a picture, walking in Laguna Beach.
Yes.
He says, always think positively, no matter what happened to you.
Yes.
Never let negative thoughts enter your mind at any time, at any situation.
Yes.
Once you understand that the goal of life is to go back to home, back to Godhead, it becomes a natural process, and all the negativity and unhappiness disappear.
Yes.
So by the mercy of Guru, I was one time in Baleswara, in Orisha, with Maharaj.
Yes.
He was initiate 45 devotees, Orisha Vaishnavas.
Yes.
So he asked me to speak.
Yes.
So I was feel very embarrassment. So I quote, as in relation that Manavar Puriman has the money to glorify Srila Prabhupada or Guru Maharaj, I was saying that mantra is very important from the Upanishad. It says, Yasya deve parabhakti yata deve tata guru tasyanti hitati tata prakashanti mahatmanaha. Those great souls who have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all the Vedic knowledge will be revealed. Vedic knowledge is, or satsangas is not just scientific material and a chain, but it's a spiritual chain. So by the mercy of Guru, everything can be revealed. So my humble prayer to Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutare Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasarine A special in the last line of the Pranan Guru mantra, it is very important. Prabhupada came here out of his mercy, and like Srila Siddhar Maharaj and many associates of Mahaprabhu, to destroy Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, you know, destroy the bodies, the scientific, you know, materialistic knowledge, and to establish the knowledge of Krishna. So this, by humble prayer to Prabhupada, then everything can be revealed and we'll be able to go back to Godhead.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Kr